Amen. Well, I need what I'm preaching on today. I probably need it more than all the rest of you. Isn't it amazing? See, what do you not know that most of the time when preachers are preaching, they're just preaching at theirself? We're just preaching on what the Lord has been dealing with us, and yeah, it comes to us first, doesn't it? And then we just share. We're talking about more in 24. See, my brother's got his blanket out. It must be cold. Hey, Elias, cut that air off right there. Anybody else cold? Is it cold in here? There you go. Hey, do me a favor. Run to the three corners and just hit them off. Just turn them off. It's fine. Don't want you to be cold. I got my fan going right here. I'm good. There's a man, true story, in New Hampshire. He stopped at the gas station and bought a pack of cigarettes. And he paid with his debit card. And so a few hours later, he was checking his online account, and he saw that for this particular pack of cigarettes, they charged him 17 figures. To be exact, they charged him 23 quadrillion, 148 trillion, 855 billion, 308 million, $184,500. That's an expensive pack of cigarettes. Needless to say, he called the bank immediately and said, "I think there's been an error." They looked at it, sure enough, some crazy computer thing, and they took the charges away. And, you know, it was so nice of them, they even waived the $15 overdraft charge. Wasn't that nice of them? You see, he owed a debt he could never pay. You're not paying. I mean, there's not enough money in the world. All the nation's debt is not that. That's a big debt. And so that just leads us right in to this parable that we're going to talk about today. So we're talking about more, okay? Anybody know where we're at on more? Today, this is point number 14. We're at 14. Do we have the list, Talita? Let's run through it. Come on. More Jesus, more Holy Ghost, more souls, more workers, more miracles, more freedom, more grace and mercy, more peace, more love towards our spouse and family, more money, more joy, more praise. And number 14, we need more forgiveness. I told y'all I needed it more than anybody. There was 350 people here last week. I'm kind of feeling, a little judgy about those 250 not here today. I kind of take it personal. It hurts my feelings. They came last week, not this week. Isn't it amazing? We can take anything personally. We can get offended over anything. And we can hold a grudge. Now, we all want forgiveness. I say, Jesus will forgive you of anything. Woohoo! We need to forgive others. Oh, no, I'm not into that. We don't shout near as loud when we're talking about giving forgiveness as we are about receiving forgiveness. But I want to talk today about more forgiveness. We need it both ways. I need to receive more forgiveness, and I need to give more forgiveness. So we're here in Matthew. Look at the gospel with me, Matthew chapter number 18, and we're going to start reading in verse number 24. Now, this is a very familiar story. And we talk about it. It seemed like it happened that long ago since we talked about it. Because there's so much good in this parable. What is a parable? It's an earthly, a heavenly story. Jesus used things, but it had an earthly meaning. It went deeper than just the surface. And so let's look at this story and see what we can get out of it, okay? Are you ready? A man who owed a king 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Somebody say amen. That's awesome. Because in today's money, that's about $5 billion. You think he was going to ever be able to repay that? No. He owed a debt that was not payable. It had got out of control. The interest was out of control. I mean, he wasn't able. And this king, because he asked for forgiveness, canceled his debt, forgave the debt. And this man was happy, just like you and I would be. But let's look at verse number 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. About $100. Now remember, he had just been forgiven a debt of about $5 billion. He found a man who owed him $100. He grabbed him and began to choke him and say, "Pay me back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me. I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Look at verse 35. You know, there's some things, there's some scriptures I would just like to delete. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I like to pick and choose. You know, it's kind of like your pizzas. Amy gets the supreme sometime, and I like to just pick off what I don't like and eat what I like. Don't we do the word like that? Wouldn't this be a good number? Verse 35 would be a good scripture just to delete. Just hit delete. But you can't do that, can you? We have to take all of the Word of God. It all applies to our life. Verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Everybody go, ouch. Let's look at these two debts. In this parable, we see the first man represents us. We owe a king, God. We owe him for all of our debts, our sins, our trespasses, every ugly thought, everything we've ever done. We owe for that. And I don't know about you, that would be quite a bit for me. Oh, no, nobody else ever made a mistake. Nobody else ever sinned. And the interest accrues, doesn't it? 10,000 talents, I already told you, is about $5 billion that man owed. He could never pay it. It was an impossible debt. We owe an impossible debt. Our sins, we couldn't do it. And the way, the Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. Just like that man in the parable, we deserve to be thrown in the prison and rot there and die there because we couldn't pay that debt. The wages of sin is death. But, woo, I love this part, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We just celebrated it. Easter was the day, the resurrection. Amen. But it was the death on the cross of God Himself becoming our sacrifice, laying His life down, paying the penalty of our sins, canceling the debt that was against us. We didn't do anything to deserve that. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died to pay the debt and the penalty for our sin. He said that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Buried in the depths of the sea, behind the back of God, never to be remembered again. I don't deserve that. But mercy and grace came to me, and I receive it by faith, and I accept His penalty for my sin, and I receive Him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm forgiven. And though I should go to hell, I get to go to heaven, and I get to spend eternity with Jesus, and I don't have to be tortured in the flames of hell for eternity. I get to live in the presence of God. He's going to prepare a place for me. I don't deserve any of that. But He just gave it to me freely. I owed the King. I couldn't pay the debt. But the King forgave me. But then there are people who owe me. Oh, they owe me. You see, I'm all that in a bag of tater chips. And they owe me. I did something for them. I sacrificed. My children owe me. Oh, just hold your breath till they pay you back. You'll be dead before you get. My children don't owe me nothing. They didn't choose to be born to me. I chose. Huh? Yeah. You chose to have the fun. You get to choose to pay for them. But thank God we don't have to pay forever. Man, it was a good thing. My kids got married. They got their own. And it was a while, but little by little, we, you know, put the cell phone in their name and put the insurance in their name. And pretty soon, you're out from under all that debt and you're like, whoo! But then, come the grandbabies. Oh, Lord. Them two little girls going to cost me a fortune. Yeah, I asked for them. I put it on my resurrection offering. So I can't say, Lord, You gave me to them, but now I'm going to complain about buying them something. They owe me. You know, there are people who maybe really owe you. I'm in a situation right now. People legitimately owe me, but they're trying to do everything to get out of it. Police showed up at my door. I got a call this week. I have never in my life been threatened so many times in one conversation in the nicest way. I was threatened with jail time and fines and everything in the world. You know what? They owe me. I have a choice. I have a choice. I can choose to be bitter, to be angry, to hold grudges. But you know what? I'm going to choose to give it to the Lord. I'm not going to... Listen, they're not worth my peace of mind. I've already lost some sleep over it, and I don't want to lose any more. I cannot. You've got to give it. I've got to forgive. I'm going to get what I can. Whatever they're willing to pay, I'm going to take it. But the rest, you're just going to have to mark it off. Count it as an offering unto the Lord. You know, yeah, sometimes there are people who legitimately owe you. But what are you going to do if they don't pay? What are you going to do when somebody hurts your feelings? What are you going to do when somebody talks behind your back? What are you going to do when they post something on Facebook that's not true? What you going to do when they post something on Facebook that is true? You're mad at them because they posted it, but it's true. I asked my wife today. I get offended. Everybody posts pictures of me. I always have my mouth open. I told my wife, why can't they ever post a picture when my mouth is closed? She said, because your mouth's never closed. I had a choice. Do I forgive or do I hold a grudge? I forgave. Listen, this second man, he owed him about $100. It was a small thing. He had been wronged. That was real. And the second man did the same as the first. He asked for forgiveness. He asked for time to pay. He asked for opportunity. But the man refused to give it. Choked him. Threw him in prison. Jesus said, well, the king called the first man back and said, because you've done that, now I'm going to reinstate. I don't want the Lord to reinstate all the sins he's already forgiven me for. Ooh, wouldn't that be bad? I don't want to stand before God with all that. I want to know that my sins are forgiven, I'm covered in the blood, and when I stand before God to give an account for my life, I don't have to give an account for my sins. I just have to give an account that I've accepted Jesus. And he looks at the book and he sees, paid in full. As a Christian, we don't give an account for our sins because our sins are forgiven. Because he refused to forgive, the king reinstated that on him and said, now, you're going to pay. Why don't we forgive? Why do we choose not to forgive? I heard you. It's in here. Number one, it's easier to blame others than it is to take responsibility for ourselves. See, it's much easier for me to point out what you did wrong than what I did wrong. It's so much easier for me to see your part in the problem than to see my part in the problem. It's so easy. Why? Because I see you. It's hard to see myself. Oh, that's why you got to look in the mirror. I hung a big mirror up in my office this morning because I want to be able to see myself before I come out here. I want to check. Pants zipped? Good. Any boogers? No, good. Hair's all right? Good. Listen, I need to be able to see myself before I come present myself. Oh, but it's easier to see you. It's easier to point out your faults and your failures and your mistakes than it is to see mine. Another parable, the Lord said, you need to get the beam out of your own eye. You need to get the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to get the little splinter out of your neighbor's eye. Yeah. So, number one, it's easier to blame others than it is to take responsibility for our own feelings, our own words, our own actions. Listen, we tend to shift the blame. Now, when did it start? There you go. Right there. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, don't eat it, ate it. God showed up. Adam said, that woman you gave me. Eve said, the serpent told me. Everybody's shifting blame. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Number two, because we think we're justified in holding that unforgiveness. Because what they did was legitimate. The hurt that was legitimate. We say, well, my attitude is not really a sin. They deserve my response. See, you don't know, Pastor, what they said to me. So it's okay that I lost my cool and cussed them out. They needed a good cussing. And I was happy to give it to them. I don't cuss out loud. But I know all the words. I worked construction for years. I could say them if I want to. Oh, but I gotta choose not to. Because if you say words, you gotta apologize for the word said. Listen, I find it's easier. You have less to apologize when you say nice words than when you say bad words. Harsh words. Hurtful words. Even so, we say, I don't have to forgive because I'm justified. They deserved. It was merited. You see, I'll forgive if they apologize. We think it's okay to treat other people wrong. We excuse ourselves for our actions because of their actions. Number three, I heard this one. The offended person allows pride to keep them from forgiving. Our ego takes over our decision making. When our egos are bruised, when somebody hurts our ego and challenges, oh, it's hard to get over that sometime, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the Bible says an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. We got to be careful how we treat people and what we say. Listen, it's hard. It's easier to go conquer a fortified, walled city than it is to win back someone that's been offended. And you know what? I'm sure we've all offended people. I've offended some unintentionally. I don't know that I've ever just tried to offend somebody. There are people like that. It seems like they just try. But we've all done it, whether it was accidental or on purpose. But we can't allow our ego and our pride to stop us from forgiving. Amen? Number four, we have the wrong concepts of forgiveness. See, we think, number one, that if I forgive, I have to forget. No. I'm going to remember so that I don't let it happen again. You know? I mean, if I go in a yard, the dog bites me, I can forgive the dog, but I can remember not to go back in that yard again. We think, well, I don't have to forgive because I didn't do anything wrong. It's their fault. Wrong. What about the fact that they're offended too? You see, usually offense goes two ways. We always want to put it, it's their fault. What about, I don't have to forgive if the other person isn't sorry? Wrong. Doesn't matter if they're sorry for what their part in is not. You've got to forgive for your part. well, Pastor, I tried to work it out, but they didn't want to, so I don't have to try anymore. Wrong. You got to forgive them, release it, let it go, whether they choose to forgive you or not. It's your job, it's your responsibility.
I mean, what if husbands and wives did that?
Well, I was going to say I'm sorry, but you know, they were still mad at me, so we'd be mad at each other forever.
Somebody's got to take the first step. Somebody's got to take the initiative. Somebody has got to step out of pride.
Somebody has got to initiate forgiveness. Well, God doesn't tell us to ask for permission to forgive people. He just tells us to forgive them. Sometimes you have to forgive people for things you may never see them again. You may never get an opportunity to say you're sorry in person. Maybe they're dead and gone. You're still holding a grudge against them. I knew this was going to be a very quiet day. This is not that shouting sermon on more money. Woo-hoo! Yes, Lord! We all want more money. Number five. It's hard because we can't even forgive ourselves. Forgiving yourself is one of the hardest things you can do. There's people who God has forgiven them, and they're still living under guilt because they can't forgive themselves. How can I forgive somebody when I can't even forgive myself? Pastor, you don't know how I've messed up. I've hurt people on purpose or not on purpose. I can't undo what's done. That's true. However, can I tell you at home today, sitting in that prison cell, jail cell, your past does not determine your future. What you've done in the past can be forgiven and you can move on. Thank God, amen, it doesn't determine the rest of my life. No one on earth deserves to be held in bondage forever. Thank God. I want to be released from guilt and shame. Thank God for giving us peace with God and taking away the guilt and shame of our past. But man, let's don't hold ourselves in it. We do. Some of you are holding yourself responsible for things that God's already forgiven you for. And can I tell you whose business that is? The devil's. That's his job. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to try to stop you from being successful in your future. He knows how much God loves you. He knows how valuable you are to God. He knows what your future holds. He knows, amen, you're going to heaven, and he hates you for it. And he wants to stop you and keep you, amen, wallowing in self-pity and keep you from standing and doing what God's called you to do because you're living under guilt and shame. I'm calling you today, forgive yourself. We have got to learn from our mistakes. We can have regret, but regret is not a life sentence. When we sin, when we do wrong, conviction tells us you messed up. And what do? You confess your sin. If it's against someone else, go to them. Confess it. Say you're sorry. Apologize. If it's a spouse or a child or a coworker, whoever, maybe it's a stranger. You'll never see them again. But you need to pray and say, Lord, what I said, what I did in that line at Walmart is not right. And I may never see that person again. But Lord, I'm sorry I acted that way. I'm sorry that when they pulled in front of me,
I'm sorry. All my fingers didn't go up in a wave. Only select ones. And I'll never see them again. But they saw that gesture and they saw that bumper sticker that said, honk if you love Jesus. And now they say, all Christians are hypocrites. You've offended somebody. You need to make it right. And you need to stop that behavior. Now listen, I'm just trying to get you right. Let me ask you a question. What if tomorrow, when the moon completely goes over the sun and it darkens, what if when the moon moves away and the sun shines again, all the Christians were gone? Where would you be? Would you still be in the parking lot with your glasses on? Would you still be sitting in a field? Would you? Listen, here's the deal. I don't know when the Lord's going. I don't think this eclipse is the end of the world. I don't know that little earthquake in New York that also was hundreds of earthquakes all over the world. But no, that doesn't mean anything. All these wars and rumors of wars and famines and all this, no, none of that means nothing. Except the Lord said, when you see all these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I can tell you this, He's coming for somebody today. Somebody dies every second. And it might be you. So all I'm trying to do, I am not trying to be mean. Pastor is just trying to get you right with God and trying to get you right with other people so you can live a life happy. You can live a life without regret. You can live a life not under condemnation. You can live a life, amen, knowing that whenever Jesus comes, you're ready to go. Amen. Why must we forgive? Everybody say, we must forgive. Why? No, go ahead and say it. I know you want to. Why? Why, Pastor? Why do I need to forgive? Because number one, you hurt yourself if you don't. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Don't work that way. You hurt yourself. Number one, you hurt yourself because when you hate your enemies, you give them power over you. When you remember, when you hold a grudge, you give people power over you. They affect your sleep. They affect your wake time. They affect your life. You're constantly thinking about it. I don't want to think about them that much. I don't like them that much. I don't want to think about them every day. So I've got to forgive them so I can forget them. Oh. See, I know what you said. When you got mad, you said, forget you. But you've remembered them every day since. Because when you don't forgive, you give people power over you. Power over your sleep, your appetite, your happiness. And I didn't say that. Dale Carnegie did. When you don't forgive, you give people power over your sleep, your appetite, and your happiness. That's what Dale Carnegie said. Listen, when we don't forgive, we hurt ourselves physically. In a study they did with a whole group of people, they did forgiveness training, and afterwards, mental distress dropped by 40%. 35% dip in headaches, back pain, insomnia. I'm telling you, unforgiveness hurts. It'll hurt you. It'll wreck you. It'll eat you up from the inside. It'll give you ulcers. Give you nightmares. Unforgiveness hurts. But it hurts us spiritually. Ephesians 5 said, in your anger do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath while you're still angry. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. When you choose to not forgive, you give the devil a foothold. The door is trying to close. You're trying to close the door on the devil. You're trying to close the door on flesh. You're trying to close the door on sin. You're trying to close the door, but the devil's got his foot in the door and you can't shut it. You got to forgive so you can get the devil's foot out of your door. You got to be able to shut the door to that. When we remain bitter, when we remain unrelinquishing, if we decide, I'm going to hold on to this, we become a slave to it. I don't want to be a slave to anything or anybody. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Do you want to be free today? Yeah, me too. Because if you don't forgive, we're talking about reasons why you need to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, how many likes the Lord's Prayer? I love the Lord's Prayer. But I want to delete that last part. See, we do. We do. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's it. It's over. No, there's the next verse. We don't like to add the next verse to the Lord's Prayer. You want to say that together? For if we forgive not others their trespasses, neither will our heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses. Oh, Pastor, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know it was never taught me that. Go read it for yourself. I'm not making stuff up. It's there. But see, we like to pick and choose and start and stop when we want to. We like the parts that make us feel good, but not the parts that require any work on our part. Amen? You see, Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father will forgive you. Unforgiveness blocks our prayer. Husband and wife, God said if you're mad at your wife or your husband, he won't even hear your prayer until you go make it right with him. Wow. I heard that. I heard somebody go, that's why God's not listening to me. Yeah. Go forgive your husband or your wife. Unforgiveness blocks God's blessing. And it keeps them out of the kingdom. Listen, our job as Christians, Jesus said, I came that all men, everybody, might know me. Everyone receive forgiveness. Everyone. Listen, you may be the key. You may be the only key. Matthew said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between you and him. If he listens, you have won a brother forever. Instead of trying to cut people off, why don't we try to go and mend fences, make a brother, make a sister, make a friend. Listen, your worst enemy can become your best friend. Now, it doesn't always have to. but you want to give them opportunity. You don't want to be holding anything against somebody so that God's not hearing their prayers. Because they need to ask for forgiveness also to go to heaven. And if you're blocking them, don't block anybody from forgiveness. If you're holding a grudge and they're holding a grudge, God's not hearing either one of you. Go make it right so that barrier can be broken down so that God can hear both of you, bring you to the kingdom. Amen? Because God allowed it for your good. What? Pastor, you don't know what? They hurt me. They done me wrong. Yeah, I know. The devil meant it for bad, but God can always work it for good. The greatest, we just read it in my book club in Genesis. Joseph. Sold, thrown in a pit, sold to slavery, Potiphar's house, lied on by the wife, gone into jail. Person after person forgot about him. He had every reason to be bitter and unforgiving, but he chose to forgive. He chose to keep a right spirit, and the Lord raised him from the pit to the palace. He saved all of Egypt and Israel. And when his brothers came, they said, oh, he's going to get us. He's going to kill us. But he fell on their neck and he said, it's okay what you did. I forgive you. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Amen? So instead of what happened to you, let it destroy your life, why don't you use it to allow the Lord to be a blessing? Use that testimony. Listen. You got to pass the test before you get a testimony. Yeah. So forgive and let God do the work. You cannot obey Jesus. You can't come to His Word. Listen, forgiveness is costly. It's not easy. It costs you something. It comes out of a broken heart. It comes out of tears. Forgiveness is it's always hard. It's not something you do flippantly. It's not, listen, it's something, it pulls a price from us. It's grace covering a wrong. Now, forgiveness cost Jesus a great price. We just talked about it. The cross horrible, but it was the price he paid for our forgiveness. And he covered our sin with his grace. Today, yeah, it might cost you something. You may have to humble yourself. You may have to put your pride aside. Yeah, it may be humbling, and it may be a hard conversation, and it might be difficult to do, and it costs something to cover someone's sin with grace. But can I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Jesus said we must love our enemies. That's hard, isn't it? But we have to remember, love covers a multitude of sins. He covered a multitude of mine. So I need to extend that grace and cover others. You can't obey Jesus in everything and be keeping a record of everybody's wrong against you. He's not keeping a record on you. He's forgiven you. Your past is forgiven. Stop counting. Stop counting. I just heard a story this week. A friend of Amy's, her son's in the military. Man went and accused other gentleman of something. He's been saying hurtful things to me. He said this and said that. God's like, man, I just, what, when? What did I say? And guess what? The guy had a list for a whole year. I don't want to spend a year of my life keeping a list of who's saying and doing me wrong. That's a miserable existence. If somebody does you wrong, go right then to them and go, hey, man, that hurt my feelings. You shouldn't have said that. Let's make it right. If they choose to not, say, I forgive you, and walk away. Don't give it another thought. Don't give them power over you. If you did wrong, admit it. Say you're sorry. Humble yourself. Do what's right. But let's don't keep a record of wrongs. Let's throw that list away this morning. Amen? Let's let that list be destroyed. Get rid of it. Come on, delete it out of your phone. Aren't you glad you can be forgiven? You can be forgiven this morning. God is in the pardoning business. Whew. I'm guilty. I did it. I deserve to die. But He gave me a pardon. As if it never happened. Whew. He can give you a pardon this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need His forgiveness. And He loves you. And He gives it freely. It's free to us. It cost Him a great price. Don't ever think it's easy. It cost His life. But He's willing to give it to you if you ask. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been hurt by someone. And you need to be healed. You need healing in your heart. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was physical, mental, maybe it was verbal, maybe it was sexual. But you've been hurt and wounded, and you have held this bitterness and this unforgiveness and this grudge. I'm telling you, I just want you to live in peace and happiness and joy. I want you to be right. It's the only reason. I say, please, grant forgiveness today. Maybe you're here today, and you say, Pastor, I did it. I said it. I hurt someone. I felt bad about it. That person hates me, never wants to see or speak to me again. And I did it. I've been holding this on myself. Today, you need to ask God to forgive you for that action. And you need to forgive yourself. And you need to try to make it right if you can. God will give you opportunity. It'll release you. Don't live under condemnation. Don't live under the weight of guilt anymore. Today, you can be forgiven. Don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. Can you just picture that with me? Can you see that in your mind? The door of your heart, and there's old devil's foot in it. You're like, why is everything, it seems like every time something's going good, it's messed up. It's because the devil's got his big old ugly foot in it. Big old nappy, gnarly, curly toenails all up in your business. Nobody wants that. You know what? I don't know about you. But I'm ready to slam the door on his foot so hard, they hear him scream to the depths of hell. Somebody goes, what was that? Oh, somebody in the Lord's house just forgave their neighbor, forgave their past. They just said, Lord, forgive me, and slam the door on the devil's foot. He don't have his foot in their business anymore. And what you hear is him crying. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to make the devil cry today. Could you stand to your feet all over this building?